Hey everybody, welcome to Surface Level, creating a community where Black and queer folks are fearless in thought and curious at heart. I'm one of your hosts, Tony, and today, Jordan, Damon, and I are discussing life after death. Do we have any fears or anxiety about death? What non-traditional ways would we want our lives celebrated when we're gone? This is Death Becomes Her. All right, now,
first of all, I love that movie so much. I do. It's a big part of my childhood.
He's such a homosexual.
What?
Is that you a gay movie? You are such a homosexual. Well, guess what? Listen, today we're going to take our Surface Level insiders to the fume. And the question is, who did the body?
I don't even know where we're going with this.
That's it. We don't even need a game. That's enough.
Let's start with, well, I mean, we have to bring a little levity to this topic because it is one of those that, you know, taboo moments. People don't talk about death, child.
It's very dirge.
So let's play a game called Giving Up the Ghost.
Because oh, I love that.
That's what we love. That's one of the things we always say, child, I gave up the ghost.
Daily.
Or we say, right, like, the ghost is back in me.
when we recaptured the ghost.
You remember, you captured the ghost. So let's start here. After I kick the bucket, announce my death on social media. A, quickly. I'd like everyone to know ASAP. B, never. Please don't tweet my demise. Or C, whenever. I really don't care. I'm dead. Jordan.
C, do whatever you want after I'm gone, you know?
I didn't think that was going to be your answer.
Really?
Me neither.
I thought you were going to be like, I actually have a plan in place.
I mean, I will have a plan in place
for my social media rollout.
The rollout.
There will be a rollout, but you know, people want to go against it. It's like, what can I do at that point? It's like, you know.
Understandable. Damon, what about you?
I don't give a shit.
You don't give a shit? Don't do it quickly or ASAP, but do it. I trust the family to do it right.
Like, have a nice go-to-market strategy of like the life of Tony.
This is not.
Please have something put together. Don't just throw don't slap nothing together.
Okay, you gotta pick my photos honor. You want.
Too. No. All right, so fact. You are going to die. How often do you think about this? A, often. I try not to obsess about it. B, enough. Sometimes it makes me worry, or sometimes it makes me pause to appreciate life. Or C, rarely. I'm too busy living. Damon?
Often.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, people in my life been dying like recently, so like true. For me, like, it's more topical.
Gotcha.
Like, just the experience of it, what it means after, so on and so forth. I'll wait for the episode to talk about that, but yeah.
Okay. I never think about death.
Never. You're too busy living.
I just don't think of it.
Okay. Well, for me, I'm in the middle. It's enough. Sometimes it makes me worry, and sometimes it makes me pause to appreciate life. Mm. So that, wow, we all had three very different responses to that. So when it comes to grieving, what kind of griever are you? A, open, not afraid to talk, pray, meditate, cry. Almost anything is helpful. B, distractor, keep busy and focus on projects and tasks. Or C, a wreck, seriously, somebody may have to watch me 24 hours, 7 days a week. Jordan?
I distract myself.
Okay.
Yeah, like I don't, like in the past, like I just haven't really like thought about it as often.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of like figure out something else to do.
All right, well, Damon?
Can I be a distraction and a wreck?
Yeah.
Okay.
A distracted wreck. Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think I am open, not afraid to talk, pray, meditate, whatever. I think almost anything is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so next question. Making a video or scenario, making a video of yourself to be played after you've died is A, on my to-do list, B, something I would only consider if I was terminally ill, or C, creepy. Jordan,
I'm not recording a video. I think that I will write something.
Okay.
But it's just, I'm assuming, I don't know how I'm gonna die, but I'm assuming that it's gonna be from old age. I ain't really trying to be like all like out of sorts.
Yeah.
Recording a video, like, that's not how I necessarily want to be remembered.
Okay. Tomorrow.
I think you're supposed to record the video before you get out of sorts.
Yeah.
Like now?
Sure.
No. I mean, this is the episode, I guess. This is the recording.
This is the recording. I feel like I would write something too, actually. I agree with Jordan.
Okay. I think for me, it would be, I would only record something if maybe I was terminally ill and then I had children or something and I wanted to leave them. I think I heard a story about someone like recording videos every day, or they wrote like letters to leave someone after they, when they knew they only had a limited time left, which I thought was sweet for like the children. So speaking of not knowing how you're going to die, would you rather know how you're going to die or when you're going to die?
Oh,
that's a tricky one.
How? If I know when I'm going to die, that will drive me crazy, I think. Like, I can't have a date in mind.
Okay.
I don't think I'll be able to think about anything else.
Okay.
Or maybe I will. I don't know. But I think how's better.
You'd be able to plan?
Maybe. Like that movie that Queen Latifah was in with Common.
Yeah.
Last holiday? Yeah, maybe.
Okay. What about you, Damone?
When?
When?
Yeah, I feel like I can do more with that information versus knowing I can get my bus.
And now you're trying to like,
now I'm scared of buses.
You're right. Now you can't walk on the street.
Listen,
right.
And that's when you're going to give up the ghost. No, I think I would want to know when to, because it just, like, for planning's sake.
Mm-hmm. Can I revise my answer?
Nope.
I want to think digital when record. To. I think when to, now that y'all, y'all make more sense.
So yeah, that's the end of the questions. I thought that was a nice way to like, you know, bring in this topic, but also for people who are wondering, there's a game that this, that these questions actually, they came from, most of them. Some of them I like flipped, twisted, reversed it, dipped it. but it's called Death Deck, and that's because there's like a death positive movement going on about people trying to strike up conversations about these tough topics. So I wanted to bring that to the fold. As I fold what's going on in front of me here in the studio. For the first question that I have for you guys as it relates to this topic, I wanted to set the stage because I didn't know that this was a thing, but thanatophobia is the actual term for what is referred to as death anxiety, which is an extreme fear of death. And so I read an article in The Guardian where this researcher had an opinion that in the US and in the UK, these are death denying cultures that we have. And so it says that death is mostly avoided as a topic. And it went on to say that the less something is openly discussed, the scarier it becomes. While avoiding talking about death can reduce a little discomfort in the short term, it probably makes most of us much more anxious and anxious to die in the long term, which I kind of can get on board with that. I do feel like in America, at least we, and especially in the Black community, it's not, death is not something like you bring it up, people be like, let's not talk about that.
Dark sided,
but it's dark sided. But I want to know from the panel, you girls, do we have any fears or anxiety as it relates to death? Damon?
The only thing I really think about is, well, two things. Having something that is so uncertain that nobody, you don't understand what it is, and you only get to do it once, is really fucking weird. Like, there's so many things in life where, like, you can research it, or somebody can tell you, oh, do this when you grow up, or yada, yada, yada. And death specifically is just like, ain't nobody to ask. You just gotta go for it.
Right.
And then back to the how, child. Just please, Lord, don't take me in no violent way. I don't, a plane crash would stress me. I don't want the last moments of my life to be just be, boom.
Yeah.
I could actually do a plane crash, I think.
Really? Bitch, I would have a heart attack before we hit the ground.
Oh my God. Literally leave the ghost. Instant. The ghost would leave my body.
And you say that, you're going to be the mission. Like, the survivor. She survived, but she can't move nothing.
Well, I would be so frustrated with that because I thought that it would always be instant. I mean, was that the end of your answer?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really think about death often, as we discussed in the game. But I just feel like, I don't know. I have this thing where I don't really know, or I don't really have a huge perspective on like the afterlife. And I think that that has something to do with it. At least with people that I know, they're like, they're more concerned about death because they are more, I guess, like active in the belief of an afterlife. I imagine that life would just be just nothingness after I die. So for me, I'm just kind of like, when my time comes, but I can't like sit here and just like constantly think about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do have an irrational fear though. I imagine myself dying, going down a flight of steps.
Oh.
And like busting my head open.
Child, you better move out of that walk up.
and the stairs are hard in my apartment.
They are.
And like, very hard. It's a fear that was ingrained for me from family. Like they were like, you better watch where you're going before you fall and bust your head open. And I feel like I hear that every single time I'm walking down a flight of steps. So if you see me walking down a flight of steps, I'm staring at my feet to make sure that I'm catching every step.
Well, DeMond be flying down staircases.
I can't do it.
He be literally galloping.
I would be on the ground because I get too nervous when I walk down flights of steps for some reason. Death Becomes Her also has a scene about that when I think it was Meryl Streep who like fell down a flight of steps and like broke her neck.
Ouch.
Yeah. So that's like an irrational fear, but otherwise I don't really think about it, honestly.
This is very stressful. Yeah.
I think that for me, I think about death from time to time, and I found myself sometimes spiraling about like, what is it like to not exist anymore? Mm. And I've thought about it sometimes, like, is it like when I go to sleep? I don't know that I exist when I'm asleep. Mm-hmm. I just know that when I wake back up, like
we're back.
Good sleep or bad sleep, or you know.
Yeah.
And so I kind of like imagine like, is that what it's like? And kind of go down that spiral. But I do have anxiety about like a freak accident, like Jordan's describing, or like because of the nature and the climate that we're in right now with these crazy folks that are out here shooting up places, mm-hmm. or whatnot, like being a innocent bystander and something that you just happen to be at the wrong place, wrong time. Mm-hmm. But now when it comes to anxiety, like about death, just by bearing witness to some of the older generations and like my parents taking care of their parents. So my aunts and uncles taking care of their parents, just seeing how difficult that is to mm-hmm. care for elders and being prepared for that. I just have anxiety about like, am I going to be prepared to do that for my parents?
I do think about that. Yeah, that's something that I absolutely think about. Like my grandmother, before she passed, she was dealing with dementia, mm-hmm. and my mom and her sisters and brothers, they were all like working together to take care of her in mm-hmm. her last years. And I was just like, this is a really, really, really involved responsibility. And yeah, you kind of like, as we get older, you know, parents get older, mm-hmm. you start noticing things and you're just like, wow, like, is it like I'm moving into a new phase of life? I do mm-hmm. think about that.
Yeah, I think about that pretty often now. Because, mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah. But how have you dealt with death, grief, personally in our lives, family, friends, close relatives? Tony, let's start with you.
Yeah. So I've not had a lot of death in my family yet. Like DeMond's mentioning, a lot of folks are dying in his family now. But I do know there are a lot of elders in my family right now. And any minute is going to probably feel like a dominoes, kind of, in a way, because they're all of that certain age where it's getting close. And I mean, the biggest example that I've had is actually like my grandfather who passed, my mom's dad, when I was in college. And I was like, you know, not even 21 at the time. I think I was in my junior year or sophomore year. And just being around and dealing with that was something that I was like, oh wow, seeing like my mother and my uncles actually like with emotion. I come from a family where emotion is not really mm-hmm. on display. It's not outwardly. So that was like the first instance. And the second one that I can speak to is losing a close friend of mine that we went to college with, my friend Carl, who's my best friend in college, and he died tragically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, suddenly and tragically in a house fire. And he's our age, and I didn't know how to deal with that. And so it actually happened during the height of COVID. So his memorial was very much so delayed. But what happened when they were able to put it on is I actually like took a road trip with a couple of my other Howard friends, to just go out there and pay our respects. And we celebrated his life in the way he would have wanted us to. We had, basically reminisced like on the good times, mm-hmm. and we drank and we caught our lives, mm-hmm. just kind of remembering our friend. But it was something like, I think I had a moment of that ugly cry, that boo-hoo moment, when I just kind of sat with myself after being numb mm-hmm. yeah. and just was like, bitch, this happened. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we still don't have answers as to like what happened, because there was a little bit of foul play. Apparently there was blunt trauma, forced blunt trauma mm-hmm. to the head. And so I don't know what was going on, but I decide now to just like, I think about him from time to time when I'm doing things and hanging out with friends. And I'm like, this is what Carl would want me to do. And, you know, I just kind of honor him in my own little way. Mm-hmm. But what about you guys? Who wants to go first?
Damon. You know, it's interesting. The question is how you deal with things. I would say disastrously. It's one of the, like, I've talked about this a lot. My father passed during, like, the first season where we were doing the podcast, and it was a mess for me. And it's interesting. I had a bit of a, I don't know, breakthrough. Mm-hmm. I was talking to someone a couple of days ago. Like, the podcast was the thing we were doing during that time, and it's evolving a lot. And I think I personally have pushed back on like a lot of the things where I'm like, this is different. What were we doing before? This isn't the spirit of what we started. And for me, I realized that so much of the beginning things that we put into it and that we were doing and that we were, that was just a part of us creating this, were so connected to me working through that time in my life. Mm-hmm. Just like little things, like working on, like creative for the podcast. Like I was doing creative for the podcast at the hospital when my dad was in the hospital.
Yeah.
Like I was working on the podcast a half hour before he died. Right. The last thing I did with him was listen to the podcast before he got like too sick to speak. And for me, when now as we evolve and things become different, the change was really hard, has been and still is at times, really hard for me to wrap my head around, because it's not, the podcast is no longer the thing that was purely for me. Mm-hmm. Not purely for me, but for the three of us in different ways. But yeah. Like the work that I was putting into it was something that got me through a time in my life that like, I don't know how I would have done it otherwise.
Very much like, speaks to your answer earlier about like staying busy and, exactly. and focusing on the project. And exactly. Tasks.
That's what I meant by like whatever the two options were. And one of them was like delving mm-hmm. into something yeah. like I've and that's how it wasn't working. So like there was nothing that I was devoting more time to than this. So like in a lot of ways, like things that we do here, like in this very personal way to me, like almost sacred in a way. And it's just like, when they change, when we talk about doing them differently, or if we cut certain things or so, whatever, all the things that we go through as we are building this out and it evolves, the change has been hard for me. And I did not realize why, like part of it, and part of it is me like being like a purist around creativity and what we want it to be and so on. Mm-hmm. But I just realized that a lot of the emotional attachment for me to it, and why like in conversations we've had, I've become like very a mess, was because of that.
That's an interesting revelation.
It was a very interesting revelation. I was at my home having a conversation, and then it was tears and waterworks, and I realized all these things.
Yeah.
I was like, and we're recording an episode about grief 2 days from now. Like, yeah, this is literally...
shade, though, because I actually took pause the other day, and I think I said it to you, Damon. I was like, July's coming up, and I was like, that was the month that everything happened. And because you know how technology, like the iPhone pulls up things. So I think I was actually scrolling back through like to post... content from our earlier seasons mm-hmm. and I came across like that time, and I was like, we were very much in it and you were in it during a time that you were going through so much mm-hmm. and the podcast was both like you said, it was a sacred place mm-hmm. and it's also now you've come to realize for yourself like the things that, you know how you have association of mm-hmm. a mm-hmm. smell or a scent or just like right. where you were at a time, that's what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
Jordan?
My relationship with grief is a bit different. I experienced two family deaths like in the past 2 years. My grandmother passed away like right at the beginning of COVID, March 2020. And then my older cousin who I grew up with, he passed the year prior to that. And in both instances, I felt this sort of guilt because I didn't have a big reaction mm-hmm. to the passing. I remember when my cousin passed, that was the first death in my family. And my mom called me, she kept calling my phone at like 11:30 at night. And she was hysterical on the call. And it was the first time that I've ever heard my mom like have that type of emotion. Mm-hmm. And I felt guilty that like I couldn't produce a similar emotion for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what the cause of that. It could be for the fact that I sort of distanced myself from my family since I like went to college and I didn't really go home as much. And so the relationship wasn't as strong as it was when I was in high school or prior to that. But there was a lot of guilt around that of not being able to like produce like a big emotional reaction to the grief. Mm. And I don't think that I cried until the actual funeral. And even then it was less than what I thought that I would have ultimately experienced at the funeral. Even when my grandmother passed, I didn't have an emotional reaction until maybe like a couple of months after mm-hmm. she passed. Mm-hmm. I was just in my bedroom and I was journaling and I saw her, what do you call that? The program
for the obituary.
And I read it for the first time. I didn't read it at the actual ceremony, but I read it for the first time. And then like, that was the first time that I had like an emotional release, but like it was the same thing as like when my cousin passed. Like I just didn't have an emotional reaction. And I don't know, like my family, we don't necessarily talk about it. I think that the moment that the death happened and then the moment that the funeral happened, I saw emotion, but in between those moments we just avoided the conversation altogether.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what it is. I don't know if it takes someone that I am super, super, super close to present day to mm-hmm. pass for me to experience that, like that level of sorrow. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just have this weirdly detached sort of experience with death and grieving.
I don't think it's that weird though.
Mm-mm. I feel like there's probably a lot of folks I think that are just like that.
Because part of it too, like we've talked about like chosen family and things. And people, because someone has the title of whatever they may be in your family, and I'm not to say that you don't have whatever relationships you have with those individuals, but people assume that you are supposed to react in a way because this person has this title in your life.
Yeah.
But like, it's really about who has close-knit relationships in your life, mm-hmm. who like you spend time with, who you go to, and who will leave your life in a way that like you will feel like there's a void.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that people have the hardest time dealing with, when it's just like, yes, it is sad that this person that I was born with a connection to is no longer here. Cause like 6 months after my dad passed, my grandfather passed. Mm-hmm. But like the feeling for me wasn't the same at all. And not to say that I don't love my grandfather, didn't love my grandfather,
yeah.
a relationship with him. It's just a different thing.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to tell yourself like, oh, this is weird. And I think most people don't, but I feel like most people also have this like faulty prescribed idea that because this person has a title of X, Y, and Z in my life, that therefore the waterworks and the hysteria are supposed to come. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that you're putting more shit on yourself than like is worth.
Like, no, I know like for my friend Carl, cause we know a number of folks who have lost a parent,
mm-hmm.
and I know a number of folks who have also told me like they didn't have any emotion at the funeral. Like my friend Carl said, he closed the casket on his mother's casket at the funeral and didn't shed a tear, you know, at that moment. So it's different, and you don't know how it's going to show up, how your grief will show up.
Right. So maybe moving towards like our experiences, as queer people, like a lot of times people don't maybe have children or family around, but do you have any concerns about who's going to kind of take care of you in your golden years? Jordan?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so while I don't think about death often, I do think about growing old often and what my life will look like when I'm old. Because I do plan on being an old person that doesn't really have much going on outside of just like watching like the people I love live their lives around me. And so that sort of, I personally, I see myself having a family. Like, I feel like that would bring me a lot of joy as like an older person. I also don't want to be in a home, if I can help it. And, you know, I think that family dynamics sort of lend itself to that, is like taking care of your elders and making sure that when they are older and that they are, you know, have less faculties to take care of themselves, that they're taken care of. You know, like watching my grandmother sort of get older and deal with dementia, you know, I was very, I felt very happy with the fact that like she was able to be taken care of by her children every day. And you know, there's a certain level of care that goes into like a child taking care of a parent, especially if the relationship is strong and healthy. And you know, I want to be able to have that experience with my mother too. Like I want to, like when my mother gets to a point where, you know, she needs to be supervised or like looked after, I want to be involved. And yeah, I want to have that for myself as well. So that definitely goes into my life planning in addition to life insurance.
Well, speaking of life insurance, I think that yes, I'm very concerned about who's going to be there to take care of me when I get to a certain age. And I bring this conversation up often because it's something that I am continually thinking about, because kids do become, and a lot of parents say, like, you're the insurance policy, like beyond just something on paper. It's like, who's taking care of your parents, who's going to take care of us? And I don't know that I'll have kids. And I know that a lot of friends around me probably won't end up having kids. And we're going to be the first generation of like elderly gays to really experience that all at the same time. And when I bring it up, I brought it up to someone and they were like, oh my God, I never really thought about that. I'm like, yeah, we're not going to have the same. We don't have these big families.
Right.
If you have siblings, don't mean that they're going to be able to, you know, help you and be there for you and do the things that a child ought to do, because sometimes the children are not sometimes you don't want your child taking care of you because of whatever reasons.
that went at the sharpest tool in the toolbox. Don't leave me with them.
Yeah. And I also think about, like, similar to Jordan, I'm seeing, you know, one of my grandmothers has Parkinson's and she was always superwoman. She was always doing for the family. Mm-hmm. And now to see her be in a position where she's not really able to be alone by herself, she's got to have help. Mm-hmm. I'm like, who's going to make sure that the help is provided when we are in that position?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I still don't have the answer figured out, but it's something that I'm definitely like reminding the girls, because we need plans. And so I'm looking at y'all and I'm like, not that y'all are going to be the, but I'm like, we need to figure out what that looks like for us. It's going to be new. It's going to be something different. And we don't
come
know.
To my house.
Well, bitch, who's going to be there at your house?
Child.
Who can I run to, child?
Yes.
You giving up the ghost?
Bitch. I'm leaving right now. I'm going to head on up out of this thing.
Ooh.
I don't stress about it too much. I imagine that between my roommate that I have now,
child, AKA
one of my four younger siblings, and hopefully the amount of money I have, I can figure out something to take care of my old ass.
He is very rich.
By the time I'm old, I better be fucking rich. So like, I hope in that scenario, like, we can figure it out, and I'm just gonna have to give it over. And just as soon as it will happen. Though with my siblings, they'll call my sister first.
Okay. Well, we got Miss Tia on speed dial. Yeah.
We do.
I love my brothers, but call my sister first.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So, you know, we're queer. We like to shake things up. Give shake things up. A new spin.
Shake the table.
What non-traditional way would you want to have your life celebrated once you transition to beyond the surface level.
Actually, you down 16 under the
below
surface.
The surface level.
Hello, Tony.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm manifesting that I will have a really full life, And I'd want folks to celebrate that and have a good old gay old time in my honor. You know, don't cry for me, Argentina. And if there are tears.
Now she's Patti LuPone.
If there are tears, I would want them to be happy tears. I would want folks to be reminiscing on the good times and the stories because I've lived such a full life. And I'm a big energy person, so I want the good vibes. I want good food, good music, drinks. I want the girls to catch their life in my honor.
Yes.
And, you know, throw a function. It's a homecoming, a homegoing.
There we go.
It's a homegoing. But yeah, throw a function in my honor. Share your favorite stories. Start a foundation, actually, to give back to the community.
In
my honor. Because, you know, it's a party with a purpose, child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what I want.
Child.
Zaman.
First.
Oh, the last.
Yeah, the list. Number one.
Don't have me sitting up in that box with bad makeup on and people crying around me.
Child, who did the body?
I don't want to cremate me. Put it, scatter it somewhere.
Your mom don't even want nobody doing his body.
Don't do the body.
We're going to get you Fenty.
No.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Dust to dust. I don't want them people sitting up in there looking at me all crazy in that box. I've told my sister this. I told my roommate this. I'm telling y'all that. I'm telling whoever listening, don't let them do that to me.
All right.
But I would also say, this is kind of interesting. I would say to find ways to acknowledge my life without dwelling on the fact that I'm not there. Mm-hmm. What I've experienced with my family in the last couple of years is that you plan your life in a way where you think everybody will be at these life events and so on, as holidays, whatever. And I think that if a person passes, it's then hard to get through those things. Be like, oh, such and such isn't here. That's not here.
Yeah.
But I think and I say all that because one of the good things that I think has happened in the last couple of years, my family, we did Christmas together. We rented a cabin in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And me and my mom and four out of the five of my siblings, we all went to this cabin and spent like Christmas there. I was like, okay. I was like, one, I'm not coming back to the house to cry with y'all. So we need to go somewhere that's not the house. Mm-hmm. And then for Christmas dinner, instead of like traditional soul food things, we did like a seafood boil. Because my dad's favorite thing was always like crab legs. Mm-hmm. So like it was a way to have this nod of something that was important to him. It made us feel like it was a thing that we always do with him without like sitting in the house and crying. Like it allowed you to still live. Yeah. And that's how I would want people to think about me, think about me without thinking about me, if that makes sense. Yeah. Just like, I don't know, get together and dress real chic. But like, get have together a good time. And
dress real chic.
Yeah.
Okay, put on a beautiful gown.
But yeah, I don't want all that sadness. Like these black funeral polos y'all got on, don't wear that. Don't wear that sadness.
We wanted you to be the light today.
Wear a yellow tracksuit.
Yes.
Listen, I think that I would want to have like a sickening repast.
No, mother, we're going to sickening.
No, like I really want it to be just like beautiful, like a gala. Like I want it to be like great food, like great centerpieces, like, you know, I just want it to feel like, okay, like we are about to come here and break bread.
Take me first. I don't want to go to this.
Me and Damon gonna be.
Why you don't want to go?
Me and Damon gonna be in our graves talking about, I'm bored.
Yeah, I'm bored.
Whatever.
He's like, so here's a gallery of all the furniture Jordan would like to show y'all from his Instagram page.
It's gonna be amazing furniture there too. No, it's just gonna be like it's just gonna be an environment. I just want people to like come together and like people who, it's like a reunion almost, but just like a really, really, really great dinner, because people who knew me would know that I loved beautiful choreographed dinners.
11 Madison Park for her repatch.
It's just, yes, just do a full buyout. Like
niggas
want
to be in the backyard electric sliding.
No, they could do that at yours. I don't want them to be in the backyard getting ate up by mosquitoes.
You better hope I go first, bitch.
They're going to be in the AC.
Damon going to throw you a repatch just to spite you.
Piss you off.
Well, you know what? So I want to end with this question. What do you want your legacy to be? So we talked about sort of like, this is the video, obviously, that we're creating to talk about, that they're going to show when we die. Not to say it so.
That was heavy.
You know?
She's trying to take me up out of here.
I don't want it to get so morbid. I mean, I guess it's a morbid episode.
No time soon.
But, you know, what do you want your legacy to be? Let's start with you, Tony.
Okay, so what do I want my legacy to be?
Everybody settle in.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I mean, I've actually thought about this a lot because of I've thought about my life's purpose through doing this podcast and being on this journey. And so for my legacy, I want it to be that I've helped as many people as possible feel seen and less alone in the world, and that I've made an impact in helping others, especially in the Black queer community. You know, I want to help Black queer folks, little brown boys and brown girls. And I want to know that I've done that through sharing my experiences and my stories, and by also just being a better listener and a good listener. And that's what I want my legacy to be, to know that I've reached out and touched somebody's hand and make this world a better place. If I could, not if I can, if I could, because you know, it'd be past tense. That's what I want my legacy to be as of today.
Okay. It could change. That's fine. Damone?
I think mine's very simple and straightforward. I want it to just be someone that inspired people to challenge norms, mm-hmm. Personally, professionally, in relationships. I just want to be the person that's always shouted from the rooftop that you don't have to live by the rules that have been prescribed to you, and that you can create whatever life you want. Because if you're living in the box that somebody else created for you, where's the fun in that?
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Okay.
Well, damn. I mean, I had a similar thing. It's about inspiring people to live bigger lives. Mm. I think that I'm getting to the age now where I have like younger family members who are getting to the point where they're transitioning into adulthood. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for me to show them the just breadth of opportunity to be who you want to be. And I think that people put guardrails on themselves based mm-hmm. on like family expectations, societal expectations. And I'm still working through it, which is why I feel like I want to give that to someone else. But just the ability to sort of like just live bigger mm-hmm. and just do what you want to do and not be so obsessed with consequences mm-hmm. or backlash from people who don't matter. And so I want to help my family first, and then branch out after that with that sort of thinking.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And that wraps up Lessons from Your Rich Auntie Jordan.
That is.
And that is all the time we have this week. This season, we're raising money for the Ali Forney Center, an organization committed to protecting LGBTQIA+ youth from homelessness and empowering them to live independently. One of the ways you can help is by joining our surface level Small Talk conversation on Tuesday, August 23rd. Small Talk is a live audio platform where you can join an intimate discussion with us. 100% of the tips we receive will go directly to the Ali Forney Center. For details on how to RSVP for the Small Talk discussion, visit surfacelevelpodcast.com. And remember, stay curious.